Hey guys, it's Drew from Court of Nerds here telling you that Tom and Chi in Granville is back. They've got impressive meal deals, so here's what you can look forward to when you stop by to get cheesy. Start your week off with a $29.95 Monday meal deal that feeds a family of four. No one wants to cook to start the week, so go get cheesy instead. Plus, kids 12 and under eat free from 4 to 8 every Tuesday. Or enjoy a half-off grilled cheese donut every Wednesday from 4 to 8. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app like I did, you can hop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Plus, if you're like Stacy and you need it gluten-free, they can take care of you. Tom and Chi is proud to support Chia, a locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville near Cabela's. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that tells you the temperature based on Star Wars planets. John, how cold is it outside right now?
17.
I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And I legitimately have no idea what we're doing tonight, folks. Like, I feel like I'm just an engineer here to record John's Star Wars podcast because we are all on pins and needles. Last Jedi drops Thursday night. If you don't have tickets yet, I spoke to Jenny from Celebration Cinema last week. She said there are still tickets available for Thursday night because, John, you'll love this. Celebration Cinema North is staying open for 24 hours straight.
Yeah, there's like 2 a.m. showings and 4 a.m. showings that still have tickets available. But if you try to do anything like 7 or 9 or even midnight, probably is completely sold out.
Right. What we call normal human times.
Yeah.
But if you want to see it and you want to see it before everyone else, so there's no chance it gets spoiled for you, you can see it. Hell, I might go see it again at 2 a.m. Who knows?
And the big thing about this one is do not let it get spoiled for you. That is, they're like showing that on the TV spots right now. So.
And in turn, don't spoil it for someone else.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, don't be that guy.
Don't have it spoiled for you. Don't be that person who ruins Star Wars for your friends. Everyone hates that person.
Yeah, poor G Money got ruined Force Awakens, so.
So there you go. All right, so don't let it get ruined for you. It's going to be great. All the reviews we've read, even our local reviewer slash curmudgeon John Serba has referred to this movie as a cinematic force. No pun intended. Unless there was a pun intended, then I'm sure John will let me know. However, my John, the Calvaruso version, dude, you're so excited. You've got like prep work like this. I think this is the most prepared you've ever been for a podcast.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty prepared. I have, you know, a little bit of a breakdown, kind of what I want to talk about. And it's going to be, you know, it's just you and me because nobody else wanted to endure themselves with this hell that's going to happen for the next 20, 25 minutes, which is basically just me talking about Star Wars. So I kind of want to just go through what we saw at the end of The Force Awakens. A couple of theories on Snoke Rey. One is crap. One is kind of good. Money predictions, and then a list of 10 things I'd like to see. And it's not a list of 10 things like you'd think it is. It's just a quick, here's what I want to see in this movie. Let's pump it out. So with that being said, where are we? What do we know at the end of The Force Awakens? Rey is on an island with Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, R2-D2, apparently Porgs.
Porgs galores!
And the OG lightsaber. Finn is in a coma from the fight with Kylo. Poe has rendezvoused with the Resistance. Phasma, seemingly unknown, but we assume she escapes the trash compactor due to the appearance in The Last Jedi trailers. Spoilers. Kylo's headed to Snoke. Hux headed to Snoke. Maz Kanata, where is she? Does she return? Han, he's dead. Spoiler alert. Leia's with the Resistance. Starkiller Base has been destroyed. And the new capital on Hosnian system, the new Republic capital on the Hosnian system, has been destroyed along with the new Republic fleet. And the new Republic apparently changes capitals with votes. So it used to be on Chandrilla, which is where I believe Mon Mothma is from, but now it was on the Hosnian system, which apparently was closer to Starkiller Base, which is why they blew it up. And some of the questions that we have, Drew,
yes,
would be, where are they going to be answered anyway? Is Rey's lineage?
That's been the big one, hasn't it? Because this story, this Star Wars story that we're being told, that we've been being told since, God, the 70s, is about the Skywalkers.
Exactly.
It's the Skywalker. It's basically the Skywalker family story. So who are Rey's parents? How is Rey connected to all of this? How is Rey connected to the Force?
Are there parents? Is she a reincarnation of Anakin? Is she born from midichlorians?
What? That's a thing?
The true chosen one? Is she the true chosen one? Another question. Snoke, who are you? Is he anybody?
What are you? Are you what a human? Are you exactly. some other alien
Is
species?
He from this galaxy? Is he from a different galaxy? Is there a relationship going on between Poe and Finn? Would they go there? I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. I don't see why anyone would.
Will the Force trees from the comic books, Shattered Empire, have a part in the new story? Has Luke planted one on the island? Are Poe Dameron's parents still alive? Because one of the trees was given to Poe Dameron's parents. And I believe the other one Luke kept. And it looks as though in the trailer, that which is actually playing right now on the TV, that there is a tree almost looking shelf where the books are in the trailer, which may seem like the whole island could be just an entire Force
tree.
Tree.
What?
Area. It's just theories. It's all
is so bonkers, man.
It's all theories. It's these trees that Luke stole from Emperor Palpatine after the Battle of Endor. He split, or there were two of them, and he gave one to Poe's parents, and he kept one for himself. And I'm not quite 100% sure what planet they planted it on, but there was one on one planet, and then Luke has the other. So if they want to go into detail with the comic books, then that's something that they could do. So, but Rian Johnson was quoted in saying that all of the fan theories he has read, and he is a fan, mind you, and heard about, that nobody's really hit the nail on the head with their theories. So, meaning some of it's probably right, but a lot of it is not. So I might as well, I'm going to go directly to out there with this Rey theory, because it's basically going to be wrong, but you never know. So here we go. Are you ready?
Dude, I'm ready. I'm holding on to my butt. My butt is being held on too tightly.
I'm trying to make this as entertaining as possible as well. So,
dude, you're fine. Don't worry about it. We're doing good. We're doing good. Look, people don't listen to this podcast to be entertained.
Exactly. It's true. So my radical Rey theory is that Rey is nobody of note. She's just a girl that perhaps Luke or somebody else brought to Jakku. She's not a Skywalker. Well, kind of, and I'll get to that. And she's not a Kenobi, and there was no Immaculate Conception. She was not born of midichlorians. So the theory is Skywalker's new Jedi Order allows men and women to love and marry. And when making the new order, he allowed all ages to join. So when Ben, a.k.a. Kylo, decided to turn and go with Snoke, he killed all the pupils but forgot one child, a Force user but untrained Rey. Now, Rey is kin to a fallen pupil of Skywalker, his wife, Mara Jade, if they bring her into canon. Rey's a Skywalker, but my marriage alone. So Mara, who in the Legends series is a pupil of Palpatine himself, and whose final wish to her was to kill Skywalker, who then fell in love with him, it could be like a Palpatine type of maybe did something to Mara, who ended up having a Force baby, and it could get really weird. It could get really weird.
Okay.
But but
we're talking about Force babies?
I know. But Rey was like 6 to 7 years old when she was brought to Jakku, and is what, like 1920 now, which would make Kylo 25, 26. So they could be a brother and sister, Kylo and Rey, but I just don't know if they're going to go there. So, but the ages fit, and Mara and Luke's daughter, / stepdaughter, who was hidden on the planet Jakku after Kylo killed Mara and the rest of the new Jedi Order, which made Luke devastated, which made him go into hiding. A place where the Empire recognized defeat, because there's a lot about Jakku that is said in canon stories, but we'll get to that. And so he's basically hiding her in plain sight. So the Empire was eliminated until sources found a map to Skywalker on the planet, a.k.a. The Force Awakens. So after reading a lot of the reviews, I know this is total crap. And I haven't been spoiled for the movie, but I know myself I have a hard feeling this is going to happen, and I'm very okay with that. But back to Jakku. Jakku holds a special place in Star Wars lore, if you didn't know. It is the final battle of the Galactic Civil War, the battle where Palpatine decided to end the Empire if he were to die. It's basically a contingency plan. The Empire would fall, which it did, and the remnants, including General Hux's father, would find refuge in the unknown regions and compile what is now known as the First Order. So with that in mind, it kind of makes you think why Rey was brought there in the first place by whomever. Why hide someone here? Is it easy as being Yoda on Dagobah? Too many life forms to differentiate them from Force users and non-Force users? Well, no, it's a desert planet. So it's basically Luke's way of hiding her right in plain sight, or Obi-Wan's...
Someone's way of
hiding her in plain sight. Okay, where am I now?
You got to check up on here. You guys, I'm not kidding you. If you can picture this, John has like 12 pages of notes.
It's 12 pages. Five.
He's got 12 pages. He's rifling through them. Did you number them at least?
No, I got them in order, though.
Uh-huh.
I know there's a lot of holes in the theories, but I haven't heard one like that yet. So who's saying I'm wrong? And Anakin was considered too old to train at 9, so her not being trained at 6 or 7 seems wrong, but it's possible. And why hide her and not take her with you to defeat Kylo? Too much love for your nephew there, Luke. Was Luke actually overpowered by the Knights of Ren? It seems that if it was one-on-one, Luke should have beaten Kylo.
Ooh, well, here's the thing. And this is, and I'm going to jump in here because I've just been kind of letting you go because this has been really good. Like, no joke. Really, really good. I've always wondered about that as well. Like, shouldn't Luke have been able to stop this? But you got to remember, even in the original trilogy, Luke is governed so much more by emotion than logic. And you even see it in some of the trailers for Last Jedi, where Luke's emotions get the better of him. And wasn't that always something that Yoda was preaching to him on Dagobah? Was you must control your emotions. And even the Obi-Wan Force Ghost was like, control your feelings, Luke.
Oh, well, 100%. Because, I mean, Luke at the end of Jedi used his anger to defeat Vader. And then threw his lightsaber away afterwards and says, no, I'm not going to do this. This is not who I am. You know, I mean, that's not verbatim, but... And that's when he throws his lightsaber away and Palpatine starts to force electrocute him. And that's when Vader turns back to the light side of the Force, whatever you want to call it. Which is totally new. It's a new thing, right? The light side of the Force. It used to never be, there's the dark and the light, right? It was just Jedi and the dark side of the Force. I don't know. I feel like the light side of the Force is a new thing to me.
Like you're feeling like... there's no longer just good or bad, like there's shades to it.
Well, Leia says there's still light in him. I feel like that's a new line. Like there was never light. It was always there's still good in him. There's still this. They never used the word light.
Oh, it's light versus dark. Yeah. Like in the Great War.
Either way.
Does Luke have a condition?
It's possible. But next is Snoke. So is Snoke someone of note?
He's clearly someone of note, but is the question more, who is he?
Yeah, well, yeah, we know he's someone of note, but yeah, who is he, more or less? Or is he a completely new character, is what I'm trying to say. Like, is he's not Plagueis, he's not this, he's not that, who is he? So I still have my money on the kid from Revenge of the Sith, who says, Master Skywalker, there are too many of them, what do we do? And then is promptly killed. With all the other younglings as well.
Younglings!
Just kidding, that's not true at all. But according to canon storylines, the First Order seems to gain most of their power in the unknown regions. That's why they chose Jakku, because it was close enough to the unknown regions and far enough away from everything else that they could travel there without having to go through spaceports and other places that are highly populated, because Jakku is not very populated. So that could be another reason why Rey is there. But I think Snoke is from the Unknown Regions. I think he is from a different galaxy. I don't think he's from this galaxy at all. And I also think that he's nobody we know. It could be Plagueis, like I said, but I just don't know. And there's also a pretty good theory that I read about the son of Mortis perhaps being Snoke.
What's a Mortis?
Well, you saw me watching this on like Saturday or whatever, but this character is canon because he showed up in the Clone Wars cartoons. He's the embodiment of the dark side. So he's around 7 foot tall, which makes sense. And he's from a place that existed outside the material world, which could be, you know, the unknown regions. It really brings a light to what the Force is. The whole episode arc is fantastic. It's season 3, episodes 16 through 18, so definitely go watch it. It's on Netflix. But the son of Mortis convinces Anakin to join him in destroying the Sith and shows him what he could become and what he would do if this didn't happen. Well before episode 3. So he showed Anakin that he's gonna become Darth Vader and do all this killing and do all of this. And it was really strange, and he has a father and a sister, and his sister is the light side, the son is the dark side, and the father is the balance. And the reason that they called, it was like a 2,000-year-old like signal that they sent out, is an old Jedi signal that they sent out. And Anakin went and figured it out. And the father said, we need you to be here because you are the chosen one. You need to keep my children in balance. So being the embodiment of the Force could be where this raw power is coming from. But Snoke says that, so... Is it Rey? Is it Kylo? We really don't know. But the whole mission ends up seeming like a giant dream, and it's wiped from Anakin's mind, so he doesn't actually know that he's going to become Vader. They like basically wiped out the whole ordeal, and it's basically a dream, and they wake up in the ship. So did it actually happen, or did it not actually happen? But Obi-Wan and Ahsoka are both there as well. It's really, really
weird. The Clone
Wars
got real trippy.
It did get real trippy.
Isn't there like some crazy like Yoda trip fest that he goes on to? Like, it's like at the end of the series,
It's the end of the series. It's how Yoda learns to become Force Ghosts from Qui-Gon.
Damn, dude.
It's
Clone
really
Wars
cool.
Be trippy.
It's really cool. It's disappointing that it didn't end because was Ashley Eckstein, the girl who voices Ahsoka Tano, had... basically broken down into tears when she was talking about what they were going to do with Ahsoka, because Ahsoka got left the Jedi Order after being framed for murder at the end of that series. So, but I got some of that too. We're going to keep going.
What page are we on out of 17?
But no, it's we're on 10.
Okay. let me know when we get to page 30 of 52, and I'll pay attention again.
But Ryan seems that he wants to go into new territories with the characters. And
of course, you're referring to director Rian Johnson.
Exactly. And if you don't expand the universe, you get stuck with the same people over and over. JJ introduced us to new characters that we fell in love with, even though they weren't from what is considered now as the Legends series. So don't hold hope for reused characters, I guess. I mean... For at least the main guys, feel nostalgic when you see Luke and Leia, but let the new characters flourish. It seems to be a Skywalker family story either way. But if Rey isn't a Kenobi or Snoke isn't Mace Windu, don't freak out. It's just a movie, right?
Come on. John, you know better than anyone it's not just a movie.
I know, it's definitely not just a movie. But I do feel a better theory now would be that Rey is the Force. Not a user, but the Force itself. A new beginning, a yin to Snoke's yang, pretty much. Like, that Luke may have noticed and tried hiding so she couldn't be manipulated, and that's why Luke says he's only seen this power once, and maybe he's referring to Kylo, but I think he's referring to Snoke, who is also the Force, not a user. And with the Church of the Jedi being a thing, and the Sith... and the Jedi being users, Rey and Snoke could be perhaps deities. The true ultimate power in the galaxy.
This shit is bananas.
It's possible they could be. They could be the ultimate power in the galaxy. I just don't want to add Kylo into the mix because we know where he came from. Snoke and Rey are the mysteries here, so it's possible that they could just be the Force and basically gods.
That trips me out, dude. That like the Force taking physical form. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, where, you know, a cosmic entity took physical form. It's the House of Magic in DC, where the house gives itself a physical body because it just wanted to know what it felt like.
Exactly.
The Force taking physical form. How do you explain that if you're doing this movie? If you're Rian Johnson, how do you make this movie and explain that the Force took a physical body and it happened to be a very beautiful woman and a disfigured-looking man thing?
Who could have been disfigured, not necessarily always has been disfigured, you know? Like, maybe it was, it took the form of a human or whatever he is, and they tried to eliminate the deity, but it didn't work. But yeah, so that's the theory talk anyway. It's got a little deep, but,
I'm gonna have to call this episode Deep Nerd.
Deep Nerd. But in the movie, there's going to be a new lightsaber color revealed.
What?
My money goes...
I feel like this is Malibu Stacy.
I know, right?
A new lightsaber
color? But she's got a new hat! So my money goes to yellow, actually. I cannot recall a yellow lightsaber being on screen in any of the cartoons or the films. So I think it's going to be yellow.
Who had did someone have a white lightsaber?
That's next. Here goes.
Oh, baby.
But with that, I propose this. towards the end of the Clone Wars cartoon, which is on Netflix, go watch it.
Please
so
watch
cool.
it. It's really good.
Ahsoka Tano, after being framed for murder and later changing or clearing her name and leaving the Jedi Order, had white lightsabers when she finally made her return in Rebels and dueled with her former master, Anakin, and later disappeared into the rubble and the shadows of the Sith Temple on Malachor. She left the Order with Jedi skills and helped the Rebellion when the Galactic Empire took over. She had no alliance with Jedis or Sith at this point. She became neutral. And with the direction that this movie is heading towards in my eyes, and the neutrality that seems to be building up, gray/white could be the new symbol for the future. No more Jedi, no more Sith. Neutrality.
Just Force users who have no alliance to the light or the dark. They judge each situation based on the situation rather than having these absolute sets of rules.
Exactly.
I kind of like that better. It seems to make a lot more sense. But does it fit in the Star Wars story?
We'll find out Thursday.
9:20, we'll be at Celebration Cinema North in the IMAX. If you see us, say hi. We're in the back row. I'm the big fat beardy guy. John's the handsome Italian fella. And Ben will be with us. So if you see a 6'6" guy who's mostly mouth, that's Ben.
That's Ben. Yeah. So okay, I'm done with the theories and everything on here. So this,
all right,
on
to page 76 of your thesis.
This is my fun part right here. Let's talk some money predictions. Okay.
Money.
The Force Awakens shattered box office records with rounding up. Here, it made $937 million domestically after its run of 24 weeks in theaters, roughly $177 million more than second place Avatar. And it made $2.06 billion worldwide in a very respectable third place behind Avatar and Titanic. Those two movies' overseas money was ridiculous. That's what made it really rake in the dough. But opening weekend, The Force Awakens made, rounding up again, $248 million domestically, 26.5% of its total gross in 3 days. $40 million more than Jurassic World. Worldwide, for some unforeseen reasons, foreigners really like Fate of the Furious, and I don't see that record ever being broken anytime soon at $444 million compared to The Force Awakens' $281 million. Also behind Jurassic World's 316 and Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2, 314 million. So, that being said, will The Last Jedi break records? I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Really?
I'm going to say no. And I'll tell you why.
Which records? Because I don't know that it'll break opening weekend records. But if it's as good as people are saying it is,
I don't think it'll break records on domestic. I don't think it'll break records pretty much on anything. And
wow.
I'm going to explain.
Yeah, but explain. You don't have to tell me you're going to explain. Just explain.
The Force Awakens broke records because of the Christmas holiday and the 10-year gap between Star Wars movies. It is a fact that the second movie in the series, both second movies in the series, never do as well. And I think this movie will probably be better overall movie than The Force Awakens. And still coming out in the Christmas holiday, it will still not make as much money. A New Hope made $460 million lifetime gross. Empire did $290 million. The Phantom Menace made $474 million lifetime gross. Attack the Clones did $310 million. And even more surprisingly enough, the third movie in the series made more than the second movie in the series, but not as much as the first movie in the series. So, however, that does not mean I don't think this movie will make a boatload of money. It will make a fucking ton of money. Don't get me wrong, okay?
I like how you tried to keep it so Star Wars PG through most of this cast.
No.
You're like, no, it's going to make a fuck bunch of money.
It's going to make a fuck ton of money, okay? Opening weekend, my prediction's $220 million. Very respectable, number two on the list. Complete run domestically, I think it's going to be around $830 million. Number two on the list as well. And complete run worldwide, I think it's going to be about $1.875 billion, number four on the list total. I could be very wrong, but I think I'm going to be close. Either that or it makes the most money ever, especially if it's really, really good. And it's being said as really, really good right now. I'm being conservative, and the overseas markets have... The only reason why is because overseas markets are never, 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 never kind to Star Wars movies. They never came out in China in the 70s. They don't know what it is. I mean, they do, but they don't. They just don't come out for it like they do here in America.
What's it been like for you this week, John, having a three-day boner?
It's been really hard to hide. It's been really hard to hide.
Definitely can't be wearing sweatpants to work, that's for sure.
Like, don't get me wrong. I think it's going to make a lot of money, but I don't think it's going to beat $248 million in 3 days. I don't think it's going to beat $937 million domestically. It's just a really tall tale. Now, the movie is supposed to be really good, and it is coming out during the Christmas holiday, which is why I think The Force Awakens made so much money, because it was just it's kind of crappy out. Let's take the family to go see a Star Wars.
Let's go see a Star Wars.
But right, are we last on page.
Page 96?
Last page.
Page
last
96
page.
Of the thesis.
Last but not least, I don't want to predict what's going to happen, because I only feel that it's going in a direction that nobody ever thought it would. So instead, I want to do a list of 10 things I would like to see. And we're doing them quick.
All right, let's go. Fire them off, John.
1, Rey's lineage. 2, who's Snoke? 3, I need a good lightsaber duel.
Hold on. Pause. We don't need a good lightsaber duel. I need the best fucking lightsaber duel that's ever happened so that all of you, and I refer to you, John, can stop telling me how great the Phantom Menace is.
It's only good for about 20 minutes. Perhaps with the new color. That would be cool. 4, I want good storytelling. 5, I want not a remake of Empire. Well, not a one-to-one remake anyways. I'm open-minded, okay? 6, I need an Empire moment. I need something shocking. Turn the universe upside down. 7, I want a huge cliffhanger. Keep me drooling until 2019, which you will anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Number 9, I want John Williams to blow... Or, sorry, number 8, I want John Williams to blow the door off with the score. Number 10, or... Sorry, 9, I want to live up to the hype. I'm switching the order here, that's why I'm screwing up. And number 8, or 10.
Number 11D,
I want a respectful and honoring send-off to Carrie Fisher and the character Princess Leia Organa.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely want to cry at this movie.
Oh, I want all the feels.
We're going to, like, no one...
Getting teary right now.
We're gonna cry. We're gonna cry, aren't we? No, here. Let's just make this right now.
Hold on. No, I'm not done yet.
No, just very quickly. No one makes fun of anyone for crying during Last Jedi. Okay, no one makes fun of anyone for crying during Last Jedi.
Oh yeah, no, for real. I'm bringing tissue. But with that being said, Ryan was given his own trilogy. Disney is very pleased. I think fans will be very pleased as well. For the first time in the series, I don't think anybody has a bad feeling about this.
Oh, son of a bitch.